is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 391, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. And what follows, Psalter 391, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Numbers 23, the verses 1 through 24. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Numbers 23, the first 24 verses. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the Esain. Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee with me unto an other place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all. And curse them from thence, curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, and neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. As surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Thus far the scripture reading. Hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who remains in the Lethbridge Hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy patient long-suffering and in thy goodness to grant unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day, and then by renewal the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou was granted in so far that it was possible for us and our dear children to enter those doors and to hear the audible gospel and to see the visible gospel. Then in the past week thou wast granted many gifts from above. Thou wast given many reasons that thy great and worthy name may be praised. And then thou wast given the example wherein this morning hour already early they were given to sing thy praises. Ah, Lord, they have not thy word, but they have not fallen. They may still be on the earth for the purpose wherewith thou hast created them, although under the consequences of sin. May it please thee to grant by thy Spirit what thou requires of us, because thou hast created us in thy image, and we have fallen by willful disobedient and by the deceit of the devil. Lord, then also in this week, then we have stood on the cemetery with a mourning family to bury a dear daughter and sister and further relative. Oh, wilt thou continue to remember and uphold them where it becomes more and more reality? Do grant them a place at thy footstool. And so we commend all mourning families unto thee, that out of the mourning for a loved one, another mourning may be born by thy Spirit, and that is that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. So we commend all the tried ones unto thee, the handicapped daughter in the hospital, where the concerns remain, Lord, then by renewal. Then we commend her unto thee, together with the family circle, together with the physicians. She may still be in the precious time of grace. May then the lengthening of her life, may it be for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of her never-dying soul. We commend unto thee all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, undergoing treatments, thou knowest the fears, the concerns. We commend them all unto thee for body and for soul. Oh, do impress it upon all of our hearts that there is that one thing needful. May we be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found, and call upon thee while thou art near. To that end come down with thy Holy Spirit, with thy power and with thy blood in this morning hour. And then in this morning hour, then the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation, O Lord. Do remember these fathers and mothers for the first time, and by renewal thou wast blessed them. With the birth of a little child wilt thou grant what they cannot give unto themselves, and that is a broken, a humble, a soft heart under all thy mercies. And may they be children of many prayers. And then in this morning hour, on this special morning hour, on this Lord's Day, and then they may come up to thy house, and thou knowest how they have spent the week. Thou knowest how they have come up to thy courts. May it have been with a looking unto thee, with a prayer out of an upright heart, declaring unto thee their desire and their longing, that thou may do for their little children what is so richly proclaimed, portrayed in the sacrament, and that is the washing and the cleansing away of our sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, wilt thou help them with their oath, what they hope to promise before thee in the midst of the congregation, it shall be recorded in thy book. And then who is sufficient unto these things? But may their eyes be upon thee, and may it please thee to spare them for their children for them for many years. For also in the midst of these family circles, it has been experienced that the young are also taken away by the hand of death, Lord. May it be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessings, but also the increased responsibility. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We commend unto thee all the family circles that are expecting a little child. Wilt thou graciously watch over them, over the mothers and the unborn, and may there be some resemblance in their lives, in their exercises, of a Manoah and his dear wife. How shall we order the child? A Lord, work so from generation to generation. Bless thy holy word. Bless the sacrament in this morning hour. Bless the reading of the form. May it be used for troubled, needy, guilty souls, and that by the first time and by renewal for the strengthening of faith, that they may be given to look further than the water, but to the precious blood of the dear Son of God. Lord, bless us so in this morning with true conversions, the further leadings in the life of thy people, and the uncovering of false foundations. May thou grant in thy church in this day that there may be a large ingathering, that the kingdom of Satan may be diminished, the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ be expanded among young and old. We commend unto thee our branch. Help the readers in this day stand on their right and on their left, and do bless thy holy word. Lord, do grant thy gracious help. In this morning hour may our eyes be upon thee. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so were they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with the comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last they may appear without tear before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you were thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation, Father Hank Clock, Mother Clock, Father Garrett Clock, Mother Clock, Father Maritz Riedijk, and Mother Riedijk? Parents, when you may stand in God's house in this morning, when you were allowed and privileged to make an oath, then there are many reasons to be humbled under the goodness of the Lord. To receive a soft heart, and then the sacrament of holy baptism, that is a sacrament of the Lord's goodness, where in this morning hour you may be privileged. A special way, of course, must also be in the way of prayer in Mark 10. The verses 13 through 16, we read of those that have brought their children to Jesus, that he may lay his hands upon them and bless them. And now in this morning hour, to present your little child in a singular way before that great and majestic God, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. and that great God, that he stoops so low, that he is willing to place his great and holy name upon the forehead of your little child with your sinners. Because the sacrament, that is also a sacrament of uncovering. We have heard it in Job. In Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean under the curse, under God's wrath? But now the sacrament further, that is a sacrament of mercy, where it declares a way for us and our children that they may be saved, delivered, washed, and reconciled with that great and majestic God. And that is through him who has declared in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then the water points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers, you may sit down. That points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, who has come in the fullness of time, who has become that Passover lamb, who has shed his blood, and in that way has satisfied the justice of his Father, that sons and daughters of Adam may be reconciled. Then further, it is a sacrament of separation. Because when the Lord places his name upon our little children, and that is a name that can never be erased, that name shall go with us through this life into eternity, then the Lord, in his great mercy, in this dark and evil time, where the judgments of the Lord are hanging so low over the world, and where there are many countries in the world where the church can no longer gather, then the Lord, in this morning hour, that freely we may come up to God's house, and that the Lord is separating also our children from the people of the world and of strange religions. And under that separation, we hope to hear thereof. There the Lord has promised this special blessing. And there the Lord has promised to work from generation to generation. And the Lord is a jealous God. And we have heard it out of the law of God, the Lord thy God. But also a sacrament of great responsibility. Promise the parents to instruct your little children in the things of the Lord. No, we cannot convert them. That is the work of the Spirit. But the Spirit uses means, and he uses instruments, and then the necessity that we are given to instruct our children out of the Holy Scriptures, accompanied with much prayer and with a godly example, with a looking unto the Lord. He is a great, parents, may you be given to ask great things of that great God. And then also a sacrament of examination. Because with the baptism of your children, then fathers and mothers also do well when they see that water, what it points to, How is it now with father and with mother? Because we have heard it of the form based upon God's holy word that except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that first birth of a child, that is a great wonder, fearfully and wonderfully made. But now that second birth, oh, what a wonder that is to receive those new desires, those new longings, to learn to love what the Lord loves, to hate what he hates, and to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord remember you and your children. To that end, fathers, you may also be seated. Grandparents and great-grandparents, and then also a special morning for you, when you may behold that of your seed, that they may receive the sacrament of holy baptism. And then the points that we have mentioned to these parents, and for grandparents, also necessary to examine your hearts concerning those points. And then we have spoken of uncovering first goodness, also a blessing. When grandparents and great-grandparents may not only be glad, but that they may also be thankful. That is now the work of the Spirit. And also for grandparents and great-grandparents, that when your children and grandchildren are expecting, it is true. Many a grandparent tells us that when their children are expecting, it seems they are more concerned than when they were expecting themselves. But now to truly receive a prayer that the Lord may bless, that the Lord may gladden, but above all that it may be a seed for the Lord. Oh, a sacrament of uncovering, of mercy, separation, responsibility, and examination. Because when we have become grandparents and great-grandparents, then we have become older. And then we do well to closely examine our hearts and our lives according to his word. Oh, a sacrament of his goodness. And other parents, also this past week, stood on the cemetery, the family circle, to bury a daughter, a sister. Many mourning families amongst us, and fathers and mothers with bleeding hearts, prodigal sons and daughters, and then congregation. How is it with us concerning those points? The Lord's goodness. What a blessings that the Lord bestows upon us and our children. Oh, may it be the goodness. Sometime it is mentioned, it is true. Prosperity also a snare, but also afflictions and trials can be a snare. May it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance, and then further uncovering. Have we now become a sinner? Have we become the sinner, the great sinner, that has tried so diligently to cleanse ourselves and a black sinner still, then a sacrament of mercy. May it please the Spirit to use it for a poor and needy soul, that by an eye of faith they may be given to look upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a sacrament of separation. We have heard it, that Balaam is prophesied that Israel must dwell alone. A sacrament of responsibility, a sacrament of examination, the Lord add his blessing. While the children shall be brought in, let us sing together of Psalter 419, the second stanza. A mighty stream of fall transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows? Psalter 419, the second stanza. Benjamin William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Clayton Jacob, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Melissa Annalyn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now arise and sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only true God. Amen. Psalter 429, the stanzas 1 and 3. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exultation. Before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. And what follows? Psalter 429, the stanzas 1 and 3. this morning, our, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Numbers 23, the 23rd verse, the last four words were God's word, and our text reads thus: What hath God wrought? Our text words speak of what hath God wrought. And then four thoughts in the first place, words spoken by a remarkable man. Secondly, words concerning a peculiar people. Thirdly, words declaring a wonderful deliverance. And in the fourth place, words implying a great responsibility. What hath God wrought? Words by a remarkable man concerning a peculiar people, declaring a wonderful deliverance and applying a great responsibility. Beloved congregation, the words of our text, they have been quoted by a young lady, Miss Elizabeth Ellsworth, in 1844, 188 years ago, in the government buildings in Washington of the United States of America, under special circumstances. Samuel Morse, in 1837, in the beginning of September, then he had 1,700 feet, over 500 meters of wire, stranded around a large room, and then he was enabled to send an electric current with a message over that wire, has invented the telegraph. And then in 1843, then he succeeded to obtain $30,000 from the government to run a line from Baltimore to Washington. Planned to put it in the ground, too many difficulties, was strung on poles. And then in May of 1844, then that young lady, maybe serving as a page, also have it in our government building. Sometimes young people are asked to help to perform certain functions. And then when they had that line strung, then that young lady, then she could choose which words would be sent over that line in the way of a telegraph. Young people, if that opportunity was now given to you, which words would you choose? Then we see it was a different time than today, that the Bible had a great and a central place. And then that young lady, then she has chosen the words of our text. Then she did not focus on what man had wrought. It's true. Samuel Morse was used. He has studied hard. Tells us boys that we also need to study. We do not know where the Lord shall place us. But that young lady was given to see with that invention the wonderful works of the Lord, how the Lord has created everything and given wisdom to man to invent the telegraph and the telegraph boys and girls, that is to send a current over the line. And at the other end of the line, there would be dots and dashes, and the people could decipher those dots and dashes and put it into words. And now concerning our text words, what hath God wrought, then we hope to speak of greater wonders. Our first thought, words spoken by a remarkable man. Children of Israel have come through the wilderness, have come into the plains of Moab, ready to enter the promised land. Then Israel has conquered the Amorites. They have bypassed the land of the Moabites. Nevertheless, Balak was very concerned. He has heard of the mighty wonders of the Lord. He was afraid. No, he was not passive. He was not a fatalist. But he needed help. Oh, instead of going to Israel and to seek reconciliation, then he has sent a message to Balaam, a seer, a fortune teller out of Mesopotamia, and then he has asked Balaam to come to curse that people who were dwelling in the plains of Moab. Has even offered much money. And then we indeed read remarkable things of Balaam. Then we can see that we can be an instrument and yet not possessors of saving grace. Oh, of Balaam it is written, made that confession even, thou sent a house of silver, needed permission. In chapter 22, verse 34, he has stated, made that confession, I have sinned. We have heard it out of this chapter that he was given to say, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like theirs. What was now the difficulty with Balaam's congregation? He saw that people of Israel was a blessed and a privileged people. He desired to die with them, but he did not desire to live with them. We must remember, as we live, so we will die, it is true. Only one example in the Bible of a deathbed conversion, and that is the thief on the cross. And then further, then Balak has brought him to three places. He has built seven altars. We have even heard it. To meet with the Lord, what profound things, congregation, how much can happen in our life, also in the way of religion, and not be the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And then Balak has brought him on three high places, that he may see that people of Israel, and that he may curse them. But the Lord has not allowed it. He has given words of blessing in his mouth. The first time, then Balaam, from a high place, then he was given to see that whole encampment of the children of Israel. Your mind, boys and girls, you have seen pictures. You can picture it, the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire as an umbrella over that people, the court, the Levites spread around that court, three tribes on each side, all the tents of the children of Israel. And then from whatever side that he beheld, the encampment of Israel, he was given to see, to behold, that it was a blessed and privileged people. O Balaam, chapter 24, verse 17. He is even prophesied of the star out of Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Balaam, there are written solemn things in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. There is spoken of the way of Balaam. In 2 Peter 2, verse 15, who loved the wages of righteousness. In Jude 11, there is spoken of the heir of Balaam. In Revelations 2, verse 14, the doctrine of Balaam. And in Numbers 24, verse 25, that he returned to his own place. Nevertheless, Balaam, to behold the children of Israel in our prophecy and in the words of Balaam, only the utmost part of the camp, maybe Balak thought, with that tabernacle and with that cloud, then undoubtedly would overwhelm Balaam an impression of that mighty God of Israel. But now perhaps if he would only see the outside of the tents, then he could curse that people. But a Balaam from whatever side, from whatever angle, that he saw the children of Israel, he received the same impression. Is that also the picture of our family circles? When our community sees us from whatever angle, husbands, wives, parents, children, school, church, the Lord's Day, at work, wherever we are, that they receive the same impression that God's holy word, that it has a special place in our families, in our lives, in our hearts. A word concerning a particular people, a peculiar people. Ah, the children of Israel. Moses has sung thereof in Deuteronomy 32, the verses 9 and 10. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. That was the children of Israel, because the inhabitants of those countries, they have heard the great wonders that the Lord has done for the children of Israel. Oh, Balaam, when he was given to see that pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire, how that the Lord were under the special care and provision of their mighty God, how that the Lord granteth the manna from heaven Then Balaam has received an impression. Oh, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Then Balaam received an impression. The Lord has put the words in his mouth that it was a peculiar people, that it was a blessed people. Then he was given to exclaim, what hath God wrought? And then in this morning, then we can make different applications. Oh, parents, is that not a fitting word? With your little child, what hath God wrought? A proof that there is that almighty, all-wise, good-doing creator of the heavens and of the earth. The psalmist had an impression thereof. In Psalm 139, the verses 13 through 15, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Oh, then what a fitting word with the birth of a child. What hath God wrought? The Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. And therefore so fitting. And that what our parents always do. And also it is biblical. When we read birth announcements in the Bible, that the Lord is acknowledged and mentioned. Think of Genesis 4 verse 1. When Eve has received Cain, had received the man-child from the Lord. Oh, think of the proclamations of Leah. Think of a Hannah, think of a Mary, and of an Elizabeth. What hath God wrought? But now even more so, and privilege and a blessing, when with the birth of children, that there may be those tears of bewilderment, of humility. Because when we consider those tents of the Israelites, a great privilege and a great blessing, tents many times black because of the sun, because of the dirt. But in those tents of Israel, there were sinners that were even blacker than those tents. And then with all the Lord's mercies, and then to consider what sinners we are, what unthankful sinners we are, and then so many blessings. Oh, what has God wrought? Our third thought, words declaring a wonderful deliverance. Because when we consider the words of Balaam, what hath God wrought? Then we also need to consider it. We have heard it all the form. What we have wrought in paradise. Oh, in paradise, the perfect and the beautiful creation of that almighty, good-doing, and all-wise God, where it all redounded to God's glory, where he has created us in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, where it was the delight of Adam and Eve to glorify the Lord to the highest, that the high praises of the Lord were upon their lips. But then see what man hath wrought, where we have listened to the devil, willful disobedience. We have taken of that forbidden fruit, and we have plunged, Adam has plunged us whole posterity into the deepest misery, under the curse and wrath of God. That is what man now hath wrought. But now the wonders that the Lord has wrought, oh, concerning what man has wrought, then there are different texts in Leviticus 21, verse 1, wrought confusion, in Deuteronomy 13, verse 14, that abomination is wrought of an Achan in Joshua 7, verse 15, that an Achan wrought folly in Israel. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse 6, that Manasseh wrought much evil. But now Balaam in our text was what the Lord has told him to speak, that he has said, what has God wrought? Then he was given to consider the wonderful deliverance for that people. Oh, they have been in Egypt in bondage, but they have groaned. And then we read that text, that the Lord has remembered his covenant. Oh, then we do well, congregation, to often pause and consider the privilege, the blessing, that we may have a baptized forehead, that the Lord has separated us from his youth, that we may be under the proclamation of law and gospel, under the prayers of the church, under the admonitions of the church, under the promises for the church, because the Lord, under that external administration, oh, read the Old Testament, oh, it is true, one here and there, but it was especially among the children of Israel, where the Lord has wrought with his Spirit, where sinners have been saved, where they were instructed, where they received that true saving faith. Oh, for the tabernacle with the ark, the sacrifices, it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then do we well to consider our text. What if God wrought already with my birth when I was a little child, when I have not asked for the Lord, where I did not understand it, where the Lord has set me apart, placed me under the external administration of the covenant, where the Lord has promised to work in a special way. Oh, then a Balaam concerning the children of Israel, what hath God wrought, that he has brought them out with a high hand, out of the land of Egypt? Oh, the Lord has made a separation. Boys and girls, you have learned it. You know it with the plagues, that with most of the plagues, the Lord has made a separation. Think of the ninth plague. The people of Egypt in pitch black darkness, and the children of Israel, they were in light. No, it was not all Israel that were Israel, but the Lord under Israel, he had his people, he had a remnant. Oh, what hath God wrought through the Red Sea? He has brought them through the wilderness. He has brought them into the plains of Moab, ready to enter the promised land. But now in this morning hour, then it may be declared in the sacrament of holy baptism, what hath God wrought, that he has made a way, thought out a way, in the council of peace? Oh, the unfathomable love of a triune God for a people that have wrought nothing than iniquity, that have turned their back upon the Lord. No, they have never asked. But what hath God now wrought, oh, in the council of peace? A way that sons and daughters, that they may and that they shall be saved. Oh, what hath God wrought? Is it not declared so clearly in the sacrament? It is true. We need light to understand it. We need faith to embrace it. The necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. But if Balaam was given to see when he saw the encampment, the tabernacle, oh, what hath God wrought? The wonderful works of the mighty God of Israel. Then the sacrament of baptism declares, what hath God wrought? And that to the glorification of all his attributes. Oh, what hath God wrought? That he hath made a way, that he has sent his beloved Son, who has assumed our human nature. Oh, what hath God wrought? That God was born in the manger of Bethlehem. The angels of Ephrathah have sung, glory to God on the highest, goodwill toward men, peace upon earth. Oh, what is God wroth? See him then. It is declared in the sacrament that the Son of God is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God without blemish, but he was willing to take the sins of his children upon him. He was willing to suffer and die. Oh, when we consider the cross of Calvary, are our words not applicable? What hath God wrought? That he has cried out, it is finished. He has hung on the cross with outstretched arms. Oh, young and old, in this morning it may be declared, a free salvation for the blackest of sinners. Oh, we have mentioned those tents were black, but those sinners were black. And when the Lord works by his Spirit, then we learn that we are so black, and then we become exercised therewith, because we need to be washed. We cannot appear before the Lord with our sins. But oh, when it may be shown, when it may be revealed, ah, may the Lord use it. What hath God wrought? That he has given a Savior, and he has come to save sinners, even the chiefest of sinners. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, what has God wrought? Then what an applicable word for this morning, with the birth of children, but also when the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered. Our forethought, words implying a great responsibility. What hath God wrought? We have heard it, that Balaam was given to speak in the 9th verse, and Israel shall dwell alone, separate from all peoples. That is the strength of Israel. And what else? That in those tents of Israel, that fathers and mothers, Deuteronomy 6, the verses 6 through 9, Psalm 78, that fathers and mothers, that they were to tell their children what God hath wrought, his wonderful works. This pleased the Lord to give us precious word, that we are given to instruct our children what God hath wrought the days of old. And it's also necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13, verse 8, that mighty God, which has wrought those wonderful works, and then when we read our text, What hath God wrought? Oh, conversion. What a wonderful, what an astonishing, and what a supernatural work that is. That is needed, because those people living in those tents, greatly blessed and greatly privileged, but all those fathers and mothers and boys and girls, they needed new hearts. A heart that loved the Lord above all and their neighbor as their self. That is the one thing needful. Thus great blessings, what hath God wrought? Great responsibility, this is our calling, for fathers and mothers to stand for the old truth and the old ways, both. Because sound doctrine and world conformity can only dwell together for a short time. One will have to give the expense of the other. But what hath God wrought? Israel shall dwell alone. And then Balaam went to his own place, said to the king, how can I curse when the Lord telleth me to bless? Privilege and a blessed people. And then Balaam, he could not curse that people, but do you know what he has done then, congregation? He has said that Israel must dwell alone. He has declared the blessedness even for the family, the outside of the camp, at the outer edge, maybe a few souls in my midst. Ah, that feel. And of course, for those souls, if they may have that assurance that they may belong to the true Israel. But there can be so many questions, so many riddles. Ah, souls that learn and understand it. Lord, my tent is black, but my heart is much blacker still. And it needs to be washed. But that people at the outside tent, we're still under that umbrella, if we may say it so, boys and girls, to be protected from the elements. But now Balaam, he has played a very mean trick. Picture of the devil. He knew not enough to be in the tent. Young people, may you always remember it. The blessing to dwell in that tent, never leave. Then you shall have many difficulties and many troubles. What an awful thing it is to despise the truth, the old ways, to seek an easier way. Balaam, the privilege of that people to dwell in those tents. And then Balaam said to Balak, Balak, if you now can allure and entice the Israelites out of those tents and invite those people to a feast, then it shall go ill with them. It's what he has done. We read it in Numbers 32, verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of beer, and there was a plague among the children of Israel. Balaam says, Balak, if that people stay so separate in their tents, but now if you can allure them, and what an allurements there are in our day, also in the way of technology. But now you must allure and invite them, maybe tell them, the young people, that it is so boring and so strict in those tents, you may not do anything. That's not really a life, but now come join us with a feast and to eat of things sacrificed to idols, the seventh commandment. Then it shall go ill with that people. 24,000 died by the plague. What hath God wrought? May those words be impressed upon all of our minds and hearts, and to consider the wonderful works of the Lord, to belong to the true Israel. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard precious words. And then also in this morning, then we may repeat those words. What hath God wrought? Given unto these fathers and mothers a little child. And in this morning hour, the sign and the seal of the covenant, and thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads. Wilt thou grant unto these fathers and mothers with their children that they may dwell alone. May thou keep them where there are many voices that allure and that invite. Lord, convert us and our children as thou converteth all thy people. Wilt thou now graciously watch over us on this Sabbath day? Keep us over the unsafe roads. Grant unto fathers and mothers to speak of what God has wrought, and return us to thy house in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 304, the first five stanzas. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be an Ascension Day service on Thursday evening, May 14 at 7 p.m. The second wedding announcement of Derek Hendrikus Kurhost and Stephanie Sandrina Ostenbrink. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, May 15 at 1:30 p.m. in Chilliwack, British Columbia, with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 304, the first five stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.